Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 17th of October, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Nathan's at the helm.
Good morning.
Good morning. Was yesterday crazy?
What?
No, it's just Sundays. I got all excited because, you know, I was at that
Dry Creek.
Dry Creek Station raising money for Bella Vista. It was a great event. And I was
chili cook-off.
I was one of the judges. And so I get back in the car after we finished judging. And
was it a 2 Beano day or a 3 Beano day?
2 Beano.
All right.
Could have been 1 Beano.
Because I told him you got to take a Beano before you, because you never know.
Not enough heat.
When you go to the chili cook-off,
the chili was good, but when I eat chili, I want to feel some heat on the, you know, and then
not
later
just
on
the outside.
Later on, feel, you know, keep feeling that heat just a little bit, and you know, but you can't when you're trying to make it for a number of people. You got
15.
You gotta,
didn't you say there were 15?
15 chilies there. Anyway, I'm getting back in the, and I got back in the truck and kicked it over, and the news is on.
Oh.
And I'm looking at, and I looked at the clock, and it was running late.
Uh-oh. Somebody run over?
No. What had happened is, after I called Jim, he says, it's okay. And I looked back at it, and I just looked at the clock wrong.
Oh, man.
So there I was, because I'm like, see, you know, we've been doing it for 14 years. We can't get this thing to...
When you own a business, it never goes away. Well, I don't care. I mean, we're listening while we're in Europe.
My guys are good. Our guys are good,
yes.
Honey. They really are. And a lot of times when they deliver stuff from the satellite, you know, from the originating point back east someplace, they have hiccups. And, you know, and by the time it gets here, we're 2-3 minutes off sometimes.
And let's also...
In this case, we didn't.
Let's share with our listeners that we remember years ago with Bob Belongi telling us, oh, well, you know, that could be sunspots.
Well, no,
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that...
They send out things from the, you know, from the companies. They'll say there's sunspots, so be prepared.
And it's a thing. It's a real deal.
It's a real deal. Anyway.
All right. Just kind of like space junk.
Good job, Nathan, yesterday.
We've got sunspots.
We have sunspots.
Sunny today with a high of 82, overnight lows of 57. Now, look at this week ahead of us. Partly sunny with 88 on Tuesday. Mostly clear on 59 on Tuesday night. Wednesday, sunny with 95, but wait till we see what happens this weekend. Thursday, 92. Friday, 87. Saturday, slight chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high of 79. And Sunday, 75, slight chance of showers. So put your plants outside. They always love to drink it up. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our friends are located in Anderson, and of course, if you're looking as pretty soon, we're going to be changing from the air conditioning to the heater, and you want to make sure your filters are clean. Really? It's going to happen overnight.
October. We should have been doing
anyway.
We should have been able to at least turn the air conditioning off.
Shasta Gas Propane bringing us the weather, 365-3793. Now, I want to bring to your attention in the same breath that over the weekend, something really cute happened. Well, we've got major road work where it's 5 feet and 6 feet deep trenches on our street.
Try 12 feet.
Okay.
That's how far they have to go down.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So, Saturday morning or Sunday morning, I woke up after, you know, I've been doing some work with our gardener and everything. I woke up and I saw this. Something outside of where we have ivy on the street around our house. And there were these signs. And then I opened the door and I went out and it said, you've been enchanted. I thought this was so cute, you guys. Okay, so see, it's a one way to be, you know, people used a teepee. Mm-hmm. Well, and sometimes you see people with their pink flamingos.
Yeah, well, we got flamingo too.
We've been flamingo, but we have not been enchanted. And this is a new way of You Prep musical that's coming up that's going to be called The Descendants. And somebody a good friend of mine, Nancy, paid the, I think it's $35, and you too, this is helping a fundraiser, can secretly go to upremusical.org for $35. The kids from the musical, or from that department, will go to somebody's house and put the signs up and the musical notes and the whole little thing that said you've been enchanted. And, of course, you advertise the musical. And it says here that your enchantment will vanish in 18 to 36 hours. Want to pass on the magic? $35 to do a surprise enchant your friends and family. And, again, this is a fundraiser for Descendants. So thank you so much. We feel honored.
What's the website again?
You go to upremusical.org, where you can make your payments, or if you've got PayPal or whatever you need to do. It helps.
They'll take care
it also helps advertise the musical. So wasn't that cute? I think that was a cute idea.
That is
we like stuff that's charming
you
and
know,
unique.
Finally, it was much better than the guy in front of our house shooting up. Okay.
We're
here. I'm going to ask Kimberly about that. We're here with Kimberly Vollmer, who
Good
is
morning.
Running.
Good morning.
Who is running for Reading City Council. Kimberly, tell everybody who you are.
Yeah, I've lived in Reading since I was 8, and I am raising my 4 girls here with my husband. We love the nature around us here, and we just love our community. And so I have been active in homeschooling communities here. I've been active doing, years ago, when I feel like it was a baby program, I did Leadership Reading in 2013. And so there are things in this community that I love seeing grow, and I love seeing stay consistent. And a huge part of that is the people that live here. And so I am running for city council because I believe in civic duty. I love the process of government as much as people find it tumultuous. I find it enchanting. Like,
if you want, we can have these in front of your house tomorrow.
Right. And there are the descendants as well, you know, and things that we don't like to see and things that we don't like repeated. So I think that, yeah, I just am here because I think that the public doesn't get enough of a chance to see all the candidates, and so I appreciate you guys having me again.
Oh, we're trying to get everybody on. Now, Kimberly, you ran for supervisor,
mm-hmm.
Board of Supervisors, District 1, and about two-thirds of the way through, or is it?
It was the last little nitty gritty. There was only one form remaining. It was really close.
Right, and you dropped out.
Yeah.
Tell people why.
I feel like there's an inflated realm of financing in local politics here compared to a lot of places, and so I did not. I had a very small amount in comparison to my opponents to the campaign, and so if you don't have the financing to get your message out as far and wide as your opponents, then it's inevitable that you're not going to have your message heard and not going to gain enough votes to win. So because, you know, it's perceived that I split the vote and I made it more complicated, but I also have an opinion that if it's that complicated, the people just really do need a choice. And as much as it can be convoluted and confusing for people, I think that anyone who wants to run, that's part of the process, everyone should participate if they want to participate.
I admire people that run. And the fact is that one of the reasons we don't ever endorse local elections, it's local people stepping out because they think they can make the change. So
you want to support everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about, was politics in the park yesterday?
Yeah.
And you spoke. So let's talk a little bit about that. What did you learn something? What was the feeling? A little bit about that and moving forward, maybe some more engagements. People can know and talk to you and meet you. But this portion of the show is brought to you by
B&T Satellite, Reading's dish premier local retailer, providing our area with the best value, service, and technology in TV for over 30 years. That's right. Doug Tooley started his company 30 years ago, and he knows how to run a dish company. Don't call the 800 number. You're just going to get somebody, probably from another country, who will promise you anything, and then you end up caught with it. Well, Doug Tooley backs up what he says. He is an expert in this, It's a veteran-owned business. And to get a hold of B&T Satellite, you call them at 530-241-3474. 530-241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite. It's local. We'll be right back with Kimberly Vollmers.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
My name is Brenda Lunty. My husband and I have owned San Francisco Deli for 30 years and been a resident of Shasta County for 40 years. I first met Kevin as a customer in our deli. When he decided to run for supervisor of District 1, where I live, I was happy to offer my support. At a recent reception, a woman mentioned she had difficulty contacting local officials, trying to get answers. No one would return her calls. Kevin immediately offered her and everyone else his phone number. He was willing to talk to groups, small or large, one-on-one, to anyone who had questions about who Kevin Crum was or anything else they might have concerns about. I believe he is someone who will be accessible to those who put him in office, not just the elite. Every Shasta County voter deserves to have access to our officials to get answers to their questions and concerns. I'm confident Kevin is that guy. I am endorsing Kevin Crum for District 1. Thank you, Brenda Lunty.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Crum. Supervisor, District 1.
Hey, Shasta County. It's been another hot, dry summer once again here in the North State. Not only has it been hot, but the lack of water in our lakes and canals have left our county especially dry. I pray for no fires, and I thank our firefighters for their hard work. I am Chris Kellstrom, and I hope to earn your vote this November. One of the many things I plan on doing in Shasta County is making our forests cleaner and safer from wildfires. I want to write an ordinance to make the state and feds manage our forests better than they have been doing. I want to reduce the fuel loads on our state and federal forest lands. I have already consulted several experts on this subject and would like to reduce the risk of wildfire in the future. I don't want to burden the private landowners with an ordinance, but I would like to strongly encourage them to reduce their fuel loads also. I would like to save the available grant monies to help out the private landowners, but make our state and federal agencies reduce the fire risk rather than beg for compensation after a disaster. I am Chris Kellstrom, and I hope to earn your vote. Let's work to save our beautiful North State Forest and protect our citizens' property and lives. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I'm a combat veteran and a political moderate. I'm pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I'm not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
Hi, this is Erin Resner, candidate for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. I've been blessed to call Shasta County home for most of my life. My husband and I have built a business, served the community, and raised a family, all right here in Shasta County. Like many counties, we have our share of complex problems, and those complex problems require real, long-term solutions. Whether addressing homelessness, mental health, or public safety, I can promise I will listen to you, work with you, and fight for you and our community. Vote for me on November 8th.
Paid for by Erin Resner for Supervisor 2022.
Hi, this is Marcus Barton, candidate for Redding City Council. As a resident and business owner in this area for over 20 years, I pledge to use my experience to improve the quality of life in Redding. I will support responsible development while safeguarding historic properties like the riverfront and rodeo grounds. I will support our law enforcement officers and firefighters so that we have the best emergency services possible. I will support our business community by cleaning the bureaucratic muck bogging down our permit approval process. With your vote, I commit to putting your priorities first.
This is Michael DeQuisto, Reading Vice Mayor. I'm supporting and wholeheartedly endorse Marcus Parton for City Council.
Paid for by Marcus Parton for Reading City Council 2022.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, Monday, only 7 more working days, or 6 more working days till Monday. Hey, today's the 17th, 7:20 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center is a proud supporter of downtown Reading. Casey Fatch is on the Reading Chamber of Commerce. Shasta Regional Medical Center supports a lot of local activities, fundraisers, moving Reading forward. Besides the great medical care you get there, you know, they're kind of like your hometown hospital. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. I'm here with Kimberly, or we're here with Kimberly Bulmers, and she's running for city council. And yesterday you were in the, what was that, Politics in the Park?
Yeah, the Shasta GOP hosted Politics in the Park, so people had a chance to meet and greet for every Republican candidate.
It's just a lot of people there?
Not many. There was, it's a little bit discouraging to see, like, people have stopped coming out to meet. And I don't know if it was the date was late or what, but, or if not enough people heard about it, but it was a great opportunity. There was several candidates were there.
I don't know if we knew about it. And usually you would think, you know, that
they'd have you announce it.
At least, because we announce everything else, obviously, you know.
Everything.
Everything else, like, and I didn't know about it, and so you had a grand turnout of, well, did the candidates outnumber the people in the audience?
Nearly, it felt like it at times, and I think it was rotating maybe over the few hours we were there from 2 to 5 o'clock.
Okay,
and so everyone was there, so for an opportunity for people to meet. And that's I guess you can look at it, I'll say the optimistic view of that. You have people running who show up, who want to be available for the public. So that's great.
All right. Now, you said you had a question yesterday that you thought was really a good question.
Oh, it was at the first forum. The League of Women Voters hosted the first forum in this round of campaigning.
Oh, so it wasn't yesterday.
No. but it was Robert Hancock, who is the CEO for Providence International. He came up
to
me.
Robert.
Yeah. He came up to me afterwards, and what I find a lot of the public doesn't. So he came up to me afterwards and said, what is a foundation in you of how you come about to make decisions? And I thought, what a great question, because so many people in these forums ask very specific questions, and they say, you have 1 minute answer. Answer in 1 minute. And so how you decide a question or how you decide things that you want to see happen in the city is different than maybe what you think on one topic. And Robert asking me that question made me have a two-part answer. Do you want to hear my answer?
I think it's important because this is a question that really is important. How do you make a decision? How do you make a decision?
Right. So I have a split answer because how I am as an individual is different than how I believe when you're in a position to represent a public or many people. And when you have the individual choices that you do, I follow very simple things my dad always told me when I was growing up is like, you do not lie, you do not cheat, you do not steal, period. And I knew that growing up, that's how I stay out of trouble from him. And then in the world, and that was always the thing, is how do you prepare yourself for the world, is to know those things. And you have this unwavering thing about you. You do not lie. You do not cheat. You do not steal. And it keeps you away from a lot of poor decisions as you're growing up when you see peers around you, right? And then you step into a realm of you're representing other people. I don't hold an authority complex over me to where I would look over my shoulder and blame my decisions on someone else. So I take accountability in the sense of the things that I do and the things that I decide, and I think that every representative needs to have that about them, is that once they've made a decision and they choose that vote on the behalf of the people, they have to carry that weight of their decision of themselves and not blame someone over their shoulder. And in government, we see that a lot. It's that there's someone over them that made them make that decision, and I disagree with that. And then, obviously, I think policy is important. The Constitution is important. And for us in California, we are to follow the California Constitution. There's policy in place so that no matter who's in that role, they should be deciding to serve the public the best of their ability based on policy, not around it. Do not lie. Do not cheat. Do not steal.
Cool. Because I'm going to ask that question as people come along now.
Do you know what I think happens? And we do have a caller really quick before I go there, is that, you know, we can all look, it's like looking at art. We can all look at the same thing and what do you see or what do you think you, what did you think you heard?
The interpretation.
And so it's important, you know, they do this in therapy where you say, okay, what did I just say? And then the person sometimes will change through their filter system what they think they heard.
Right.
And that is a difficult thing for all of us, male, female, Republican, Democrat, how we are. But let's go to the phones. Jeremy, welcome to the show. Do you have a question for our guest, Kimberly Vollmers? Jeremy?
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to get Kimberly's thoughts. You know, our country is over $30 trillion in debt, and wanted to hear what she thinks about whether taking state and federal grants is a good way for the county to conduct business, or if there is a better way.
Okay, so you got that question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Jeremy, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for your question. I think that it depends on what it is and how it will be utilized. And sometimes there's times where you should not take the money. It depends on the stipulations in that grant. And sometimes it is a detriment to the public if you don't take the money, because the money is there to be utilized when it's written that way in the law and when it's written that way for the use in the general budget from the state. If it has to be utilized in those ways and then it's not utilized, it just goes back to the state and it's not serving anyone. So I think that if you have someone who's constantly rejecting state funding because you're worried about the deficit, the state's going to be in the deficit as long as we have bad leadership wasting money. So to know that our public here in Shasta County might suffer because we turn away money, I don't think that that's an answer either. Or in the city, because sometimes it's designated specifically for city municipalities and improvements and things like roads.
Okay. A number of things happening. This past week saw a horrendous attack on police. Ambushes.
And brutality, deaths.
Yeah, I mean, they're primarily ambushes where they call a 9/11 and they start shooting. The atmosphere out there concerning law enforcement in many places is very, there's a lot of, you know, opposition, defund the police, all those. What's your thoughts on defunding police?
Absolutely not. I am grateful that we live in a place where I feel like we have a high regard and a respect for the police and the fire department and just law enforcement in general. And I think that part of that is how our law enforcement leadership here engages with the public. There's so many times I've seen where there's really positive things in the community that they're doing. One of my favorites is the Bark and Brew that True Ride does. And it's a huge benefit that they do where they do, stationary bike. They do spin class, two live classes over at Final Draft. And it's out in that big, huge open space, and they have the canine dogs out there, and they're having people engaged in the public to meet them and see them. And that presence, I think, makes people feel part of that and protected at the same time. And I don't think that we have a lot of people in our area that have that disrespect. So,
let's take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. Become a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. It was founded in 1910. It's an association of businesses like ours and many, many, many others organized to improve the business climate and contribute to the economic health of its membership in the Greater Reading area. For more information and to join, you can call 530-225-4433, or just look up Reading Chamber of Commerce on the internet. 7:29 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
You are Monday, you're the best day of the week. So underrated and a brand new star. Don't care what all the kids say.
Hi, I'm Amarjit Singh and I'm running for Anderson City Council. I have been part of the Anderson community for the past 16 years with my family. I work for the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency and have volunteered for many community organizations over the past 20 years. As a member of the Anderson City Council, I focus on improving the health, safety and infrastructure. As Anderson continues to grow, so does the need for more non-profit organizations to help those living below the poverty lines. There's a need for counseling center to support those affected by domestic violence. Also part of my short-term future plans would be a free homework club, a free computer literacy program, free daycare, part-time jobs for local teens and a cooling center. I would like to build on the city's success by supporting new businesses and local law enforcement and their efforts to reduce crime, including arson, drug abuse and homelessness. I plan to introduce more services for veterans and seniors. Vote for me, Amarjit Singh, for Anderson City Council.
Hi, I'm Jack Munns, candidate for Reading City Council. It's time we make Reading a stronger and safer city. Born and raised in Reading, I spent 21 years in law enforcement and city government. I have seen firsthand the effects of crime, homelessness on families, and city government. This experience uniquely qualifies me to help serve our city to become a place where we are not overrun by crime, homelessness, and poor economic conditions. I'm Jack Munns, a husband and a father of two teenagers. I desire to serve our city and community in order to create the environment we need to raise our families in peace and prosperity. In order for this to happen, it requires us to make tough but necessary decisions for the betterment of Reading. I'm Jack Munns, and now is the time to take action to see Reading be a model of practical and effective change to those around us. Join me and vote on November 8th, and let us take the next step towards a stronger and safer city. Again, I'm Jack Munns, and would love your vote for Reading City Council.
Voting is your right in civic duty. It is important to know who is running for office and to know the definition of proposed measures that are set to appear on the ballot. Read up on political issues and figure out where you stand. Get out and talk to people and learn more about who could represent you and your interests. Attend local forums involving political candidates and find out if their interests align with yours. Be informed. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Reading loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Reading, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home, paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
My name is Brenda Lunte. My husband and I have owned San Francisco Deli for 30 years and been a resident of Shasta County for 40 years. I first met Kevin as a customer in our deli. When he decided to run for supervisor of District 1, where I live, I was happy to offer my support. At a recent reception, a woman mentioned she had difficulty contacting local officials, trying to get answers. No one would return her calls. Kevin immediately offered her and everyone else his phone number. He was willing to talk to groups, small or large, one-on-one, to anyone who had questions about who Kevin Cry was or anything else they might have concerns about. I believe he is someone who will be accessible to those who put him in office, not just the elite. Every Shasta County voter deserves to have access to our officials to get answers to their questions and concerns. I'm confident Kevin is that guy. I am endorsing Kevin Cry for District 1. Thank you, Brenda Lunte.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry. Supervisor, District 1.
Hi, this is Doug LaMalfa. If you've shopped for groceries or gassed up your car lately, you know that inflation is getting worse, not better. There is no reason why everything we buy these days needs to cost so much more than it did just 2 years ago. The Biden administration and the Pelosi Congress are wrecking our economy with their massive spending, their regulations, and tax increases. They've wasted our precious water, neglected our forests, and ruined our domestic energy industry, making us more dependent on expensive foreign oil. Their bureaucracy, their regulations, and mandates make everything cost more, crushing small business. I fight in Washington for families' needs, not some political agenda. To keep our water flowing and our crops growing, a federal government actually managing our forests to prevent devastating fires instead of watching them burn. To cut through the nonsense to help our families survive. I'm Doug LaMalfa. I approve this message, and with your support, I'll keep fighting for what's right. Paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 17th of October, 7:35 in the morning, 50 degrees out there. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And this portion of the show brought to you by
Maxwell Insurance and Financial for all of your insurance and financial needs under one roof. They do help veterans, seniors, and business owners. We love the team over there. They have been, that we have sent several people over there that have really helped, when your insurance, changes, when, you need medical, maybe some improvement in your insurance, anything like that. Her company is standing by and they're wonderful people locally on 221-0441.
Okay, we're here with Kimberly Bomers. And Kimberly, the building of the casino by Redding Rancheria on I-5 has been very contentious. What's your thoughts on that? Not about the contentious, but
just the move.
I'm
looking forward to seeing the move because although I know a lot of people on the other side of the highway and some on the same side of the highway don't want to see it because they think that it's going to bring crime or create an opportunity for too much population in that area when they're used to it being very rural feeling. Although, for the time that I've lived in Redding, watching how slowly we've grown, I think that we're in a point of momentum that will be a very positive thing for the future, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they do because I think it's going to be giving us access to the river in a walkability sense that we haven't had. It has the potential to connect through further down and potentially connect through the entire city is how walkable they're trying to make the entire city. And I want to see it develop in a way with someone who has a consciousness to the environment, which I think that they will do, and do a very nice development there. And so in contrast, I think of the Costco. I mean, it's not right on the five, but it is. And it's not pretty. Not that I would expect Costco to be pretty, but man, it is just a gut punch to what you're used to seeing. And I hope and I don't believe that we would see that on the 5.
It's going to open up, I believe it's October the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Costco's official opening there.
Well, one of the things you said at the break, I just kind of break in here because I think this was something about, you know, as we've got to know you through this forum with you being here one-on-one with us in the morning show, is that you're kind of stealth-like in the fact that, you know, you've kind of slide in and you have these wonderful, like, punches that you say, like, your opposition to people is not why you're running.
Absolutely.
Those were words that I think that our listeners need to hear.
Yeah.
In other words, you're not going to come in and just start a fight.
No.
You're here because
the public. It rises me out of the comfort of my own life to be very uncomfortable and do something that serves the public. I think that a lot of times people run and they might feel motivated intrinsically for their own reasons, but a lot of people have ties in motivations that are business oriented, and not that that's a bad thing. I've actually read a book called Leadiocracy about finding good candidates for your community, and the business community is where you should start. And I think that there's truth to that. There's also truth to a lot of people don't participate in voting. We know that from data. A lot of people are disenchanted with government entirely, and I think it's because it doesn't reflect who they are. And that's why I will keep showing up, and I think that I do represent a large part of the public. But you were saying the tribe, and you were saying on the Rancheria having the tribe move.
Would you have signed that letter in opposition to them moving the casino?
No, absolutely not.
Think it was a good idea, bad idea, or just indifferent?
I think that I don't understand the justification for it, is how I would say it. I'm definitely not indifferent to it. I think that when I see how things are dealt with from the management of the city and what things can bring to the city, I don't think that it would have been something I would have wanted to see no matter who was bringing the potential for the development. I want to hear from people, period.
Would it surprise you to hear that after the sleazy deal that was made on the sale of the land there to block Reading Rancheria, that nothing happened to anybody? Not a letter of caution, nothing.
Yeah.
Would that surprise you?
It does and doesn't. So in government, when there's no consequence, I'm not surprised that in government there's often not a consequence. And it's unfortunate because I think that what we hold and what we expect from people who represent us is that that's what I was talking about authority complex, in spite of what the authority over them allows, I want to see someone who has that respect for the public and over themselves to show up and tell the truth, whether they're required to or not. I want to hear why you make your decisions and how you arrived at that.
Okay. The land down at the Civic, a group came in, local group, mm-hmm. came in wanting to develop the Civic Auditorium and that whole area down there, about 24 acres, I think, is at the end. And it was turned down by the city council, who now said that they're going to do it, the city can do it on their own. Do you agree with that?
I don't know that the city can handle financially sustaining it on their own. I don't know that that is true. I think that they're in a process of where they want to have more open discussion and involve the public, because there was such a kickback and the public was not happy that they were potentially going to sell the land. So I would want to see more public involvement before they move forward.
Do you think that needs to be developed down there?
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to see that they give and participate, even if it was in the public workshop forum way, to bring more businesses together. Because, like, if the rodeo grounds were to get improvements, it requires people in the community to show up, either through fundraising or events that they host there, and you know that part of the proceeds are going to go for improvements. I actually had never been to the rodeo grounds until the Rancheria had the powwow there recently. That was the first time. Obviously, I'm not a rodeo participator. So as cool as it sounds, like, and as much as all of that, in the last 10 years of having little kids, I just always thought, oh, man, that's like a lot of dragging the kids around for a lot of hours, you know, and it's so hot here. So those types of things, I'm like, where's the water? I want to be next to the water if I'm going out in the heat here. But it was really cool to see that it feels like an old town function, and it's cool that it happens all the time here, and it's such a highly participated event. Yeah.
Okay. The city of Reading is, we believe, is on the cusp of this huge step forward.
Mm-hmm.
What's a couple ideas for helping that happen?
I think just keeping people connected and being open to hearing from the public and trying to get as much information out as possible. Like you guys said, you didn't hear even about the politics in the park. And some people, I think, are shying away and going back to their comfort of not being so open and public about their political opinions, but just continuing to have an engagement with the public so that they know what's coming and where to be and how they can be involved.
Okay. We're here with Kimberly Vollmers. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Have you ever been in there, Linda?
Well, I would recommend anybody that's looking to fix a piece of jewelry or have something, established for your insurance needs. Like, you know, if you want to get a certificate or authenticity. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was trying to say two words in one. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive.
Plus a great selection of jewelry and at very fair prices. Okay, we'll be right back with Kimberly Vollmers. It's 7:45 in the morning here on the 17th. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here. You know, Albert Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We have been electing politicians to office over and over and keep expecting a different result. Career politicians get in office promising to make our lives and our communities better, yet once elected, things continue to decline. Crime, transient camps, wildfires, water shortages are all out of control, yet we put the same people in charge who promise to fix these things and then do nothing once elected. I am different. I am not a career politician, nor will I ever be one. I am a common sense Shasta County native who plans on making things better in the county I grew up in and in the county that I love. I will work hard for all the citizens of Shasta County, and since I plan on pushing for term limits, I will not waste any time. I think some of our problems grow because politicians who plan on spending decades in office don't get in a hurry to get things done. Let's stop the incentive. Vote Chris Kellstrom for District 5 Supervisor. I promise you that I will get things done. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Hello, friends. This is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Padron 1926 Series Number 9. 5 1/4 inches by 56 ring gauge. This is, I will admit, a personal favorite. A Nicaraguan Puro, richer, rounder, and more complex experience with flavors of coffee, nuts, and a hint of black cherry, perfectly balanced with a finish that lasts for days. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Redding loves seeing new people and families move here, looking to join our community. But when those same people run for office telling us their big city ideas can unlock the untapped potential of our home, they're wrong. It's a shame they feel that way and can't see what makes our community so special. If untapped potential means bringing San Francisco to Redding, then it's better we just leave that keg untapped. Re-electing Michael DeQuisto and voting for Marcus Pardon will make our community great. And they're going to do the work needed to safeguard our home, paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto.
Wind River Resort and Casino with Primo Fighting Championship presents Fight Night.
Caged Inferno.
Extreme mixed martial arts cage fighting on Saturday, July 16th.
In the cage. Full contact fighting.
Tickets start at $35 plus fees.
This intense action-packed event sells out.
Call 1-800-280-UWIN to reserve a room in our hotel and purchase tickets.
Download the Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend.
MMA fighting is heating up with Fight Night.
Caged Inferno.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Remember when filling up the gas tank didn't cost an arm and a leg? Me too.
Assemblywoman Megan Daly.
That's why I support suspending the gas tax, to provide immediate relief from high gas prices and put money back in the pockets of working families.
Megan is focused on real-life issues impacting families, reducing the high cost of living, making items like food, gas, and diapers less expensive.
And like you, I'm tired of the wildfires and smoke that plague our region.
That's why Assemblywoman Megan Daly led efforts to improve forest management, put more firefighters on the front lines, and secured millions to help fire victims and communities recover. Megan's good work has earned her the endorsements of the California Professional Firefighters and California Correctional Peace Officers Associations.
California has to do better. That's why I'm fighting to fix the policies that have failed us all. Let's get California back on track and be sure to turn in your ballot.
Megan Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Megan Daly for Assembly 2022.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Monday edition here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. This is Your Talk Radio with Carl and Linda Bott on this beautiful 17th of October. What? It was just October 2nd. Anyway, Casey.
It was September 2nd.
KCNR1460.com for all of you listening online. Hey, Mike, shout out to you with the State Granite. Mike was recently on to talk about some other things he's doing, but if you're looking for custom altering your home or your shower, or how about just one of those great fire pits or anything that has to do with stone and granite and you want a creative touch, that's Mike at Estate Granite. Give him a call at 241-STONE.
We're here with Kimberly Bomers, who is running for city council. And, you know, I think people, we talked about you were at Politics in the Park. Not a lot of people showed up. Are people just getting jaundiced with politics? We kind of talked about this.
Yeah.
And don't worry, I'm going to give you a chance because there's two things I know you want to talk about. Are people just getting tired of politics?
I think that we're a little late in the game because ballots had already gone out, and a lot of times people, by the time they have their ballot in their hand, they feel like they either have made their choice and they know who they're going to vote for, or they're not really going to go seek out how to make a choice. They're going to just have that be something inside them, and they're going to read the ballot information, and that's sufficient.
And if you're here's something else. If you're first in the list, you've got an advantage.
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Just because your name's first there. Because people do not educate themselves.
Well, what's funny is how they give you so many words to write your candidate statement in the booklet. And I gravely underused the words because I thought, yeah, there's 10 candidates. I would stop reading also. I'm going to scan them and get the gist of them. And you can see, like, the punchy same words in every single one anyway, you know. You can take a highlighter and highlight.
I'm going to fix homelessness.
Yeah, you're going to see crime. You're going to see homelessness. You're going to see economic development. You're going to see all of the same things. Because in the municipalities that the city provides, those are the things that a city council person has to preside over and have opinions for. That's going to be the same.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Speaking of homelessness, we have a problem here. What's one of your solutions?
It is to continue to pursue instead of wait for them to come to us with solutions of the private sector and nonprofits, and to always allocate either a person through funding. So there would be a person who that is their job. That's how we use the funding, is that we use someone with a background in having solutions for that to pursue grants and to pursue relationships with nonprofits and private sector who actually provide help for that type of situation.
Should we keep building houses for homeless? Are these one room, what do they call them? Make them out of pallet housing?
I think that having housing is definitely a solution for some of the homeless population. It will not solve all of it. So in Shasta County and in Redding, we have not enough housing for anyone. So housing is an issue, to whether you're trying to buy or whether you're trying to rent. So seeing development in that realm is necessary for everyone.
All right, so we didn't really cover it, I don't think, but let's go back and revisit yesterday. You were in the park with all the other candidates. Tell us what that was like for you, and did you discover anything else about other candidates or from people asking questions to you?
Yeah, so the way that they ran it, which is a cool concept in the future, if you ever get a chance to go, I think that forums and meet and greets that they host where a lot of the candidates are present are the best use of your time as a voter. And so what they did was they had us all sit at a table, and you got to rotate kind of like a speed politics, like speed dating.
Yeah, like speed dating.
Yeah.
Well, it is kind of like speed dating.
Yeah, so then that way you could ask your question, and they'd say, okay, 2 minutes, and then you rotate, and you sit somewhere else and ask someone else a question. What I find and what my takeaway from those types of things is that a lot of people are intimidated to show up because they think that there is a separation of the public and the separation of the candidate. And I wish that people did not feel that intimidation factor. And the only way to not feel that is to continue to show up and be face-to-face with people. And then you see that everyone running is just a person, and they must hear from you. So it was something that I know that a lot of people are passionate, but more people are being more and more private about their opinions in politics.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you all right, have 5 minutes and you're with somebody. If you don't, sometimes if you just tend to not agree, there can be a volatile situation, what we're all discovering many times in conversations with people. Like, excuse me, calm down. I mean,
yeah. So I disagree with attacking a person. So if you have an issue with policy, I think that you should discuss, and you can be emotional about policy, but people tend to be less emotional about mm-hmm. facts, right? Your feelings are not facts. So if you have an opinion about policy that has been instated and put upon the people, then you discuss the policy. You don't discuss people.
There you go. Now, you've got two things you want to talk about.
Yeah, so a little bit unrelated, like I'm not going to talk about myself anymore if we can do that, right?
That's fine.
Let's not talk about me. I want to talk about things that are on the ballot that everybody, if you have not voted, if you haven't filled in your little bubbles, Measure A is something on our ballot for Reading. And if you're in the Reading city limits, it's going to be a measure that you see. And I don't want people to be confused or think it's negative, in my opinion. Okay, I'm going to share with you why I think it's positive. So to change the treasurer for our city and the clerk are appointed by the city council and the staff. So instead of it being voted for, so for years and years and years, we see on the ballot that the treasurer is unopposed. There's no one running against the candidate for treasurer. There's no one running for clerk but the clerk that is running. And so time has changed. Times have changed of how those people and what their jobs are. So the way for them to serve is not a conflicting thing. It's not really a hyper-political position of something that is going to change depending on what they believe in, because it's literally a service position for the city municipalities to function as they need to function. So I think that it's a good thing to have it appointed instead of having it be on the ballot over and over again. And it doesn't save anyone money to have it voted on or not. And then Measure 31 is something that is not just local. It's in our entire state. I think it's really important to vote yes, because what it's going to do is make it not allowed that tobacco has a flavor. Because this is mostly, I believe, in vaping, and they market it to children. And so the heavily marketed aspect to children, so when you see on your ballot, it says something about
how... I thought it was illegal to market to children.
For commercials and things, but it's just like right now they're making fentanyl colored like Skittles.
Yeah, but that's there's a big difference between fentanyl Skittles and flavored tobacco.
All right, so go
not,
with your...
Yeah. Right, not to children, you know? They don't see that necessarily, the marketing.
I just was under the impression that marketing was already illegal to kids.
I'm saying they're marketing by it being accessible or flavored. Oh. So they're going to make it to where it cannot be flavored. And a yes vote means that you do not want it to be allowed to be flavored in California. In other states, they'll still have it probably allowed to be manufactured that way. But the confusing part of why I'm bringing it up is because on the ballot it says the fiscal impact. So some people, like myself, being a conservative, thinking about your taxes and money and how our monies are used in the state and every other way, it says this decreased state tobacco tax revenues ranging from tens of millions of dollars annually, around $100 million. So they're trying to get you and make you think that you're going to lose tax money. This is children, mostly, buying in there. That's a way for them to get around that they can't market through commercials, they can't market through ads toward children, but their product is marketing and or targeting children. So a yes vote on Measure 31 means that they cannot have children be enjoying vaping by the flavors, like bubblegum and Tutti Frutti and whatever.
Okay. Now, we're with Kimberly Balmers. How do people get a hold of you, Kimberly?
Yeah. You can find me on Facebook, and my website is balmers2022.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. What are you doing the rest of the day? Are you going out knocking on doors?
I don't think I will be knocking on doors today. I'll be teaching my kids. I'm a homeschool mom, so today
What's today?
School, and they will be doing math, and they will be doing art today.
Oh my goodness!
First of all, they're going to outlaw that too. You know, in a few years, because your kids are coming out much better educated than most of the kids in California. That's a proven fact.
No, congratulations on that.
Really, that is.
I always commend people that.
I'm sorry.
I commend people who actually homeschool their kids.
Okay, this is just a comment. Are you just tired of what's being taught in schools?
No, I think that a friend of mine, her dad told me, you know, on a scale or like a measuring tape, you put down a measuring tape, how long do you think you'll live, he said. Do you think you'll be 87? Do you think you'll be 97? And so he's like, let's put it down at 94. You're going to live to be 94. Your children are with you. From when, like, I started having children, I was almost 32 when I had my first. And so from 32 to when my oldest or my youngest is 18, how much time do you have with your kids? It's limited.
Oh, okay.
So use it wisely.
That's great.
Cool. Kimberly Vollmers, we're going to take a break from the news, and we'll be back with the Shasta County citizens advocating respect.
Families were preparing to start their week, the blasts echoing across the city, sending people scurrying to shelters. City Mayor Vitaly Klitschko says the capital's central district was hit, damaging several apartment blocks and setting fire to a non-residential building. There's been no immediate word on casualties. Witnesses posted videos of drones buzzing across the bright morning skies over the city and of what sounded like gunshots of people trying to shoot them down. I'm Charles Diladesma.
Iranian officials now say at least 8 prisoners have been killed in a fire at Tehran's notorious Evin prison. That fire broke out Saturday night as nationwide anti-government protests entered a fifth week. Those protests were triggered by the death of a young woman in police custody. A new AP NORC Center for Public Affairs research poll finds most registered voters think the nation's future is on the line during next month's elections.
Majorities of Republicans and Democrats are deeply dissatisfied with the way things are going in the country and pessimistic about the state of politics. Despite that, the poll shows us that voters are motivated to turn out this year. More than 8 in 10 registered voters say it is extremely or very important to them to cast a ballot.
That's AP polling reporter Hannah Fingerhut. The nation's first trial over a state's ban on sex change operations for children begins in Arkansas this week. The judge will hear testimony and evidence over the law that he blocked prohibiting such care for anyone under 18. The trial, expected to last 2 weeks, and is the latest fight over transgender youth restrictions. Stocks up sharply, the Dow ahead 455. More at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com. Code 3388. Enjoy!
China's leader has called for faster military development at the Communist Party's Congress. Correspondent Karen Chamis reports.
Walking on stage to an audience of applause, China's President Xi Jinping delivered a televised speech closely watched by governments, companies and people all over the world. Xi made it clear that China would focus on modernizing the military as part of his plan to rejuvenate the nation. We will comprehensively strengthen military training, enhance combat preparedness, and improve the people's military ability to win. Xi also noted that the world is at a crucial point in history. The world is once again standing at the crossroads of history, and where it will go depends on the choices that people of all countries make. I'm Karen Chamas.
After 90 minutes of trading, the Nasdaq is up over 300 points this morning. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston. President Biden is using a Trump-era COVID policy to expel Venezuelan migrants.
The rule, first invoked by former President Trump in 2020, uses emergency public health authority to allow the U.S. to keep migrants from seeking asylum at the border. It's based on the need to help prevent the spread of coronavirus. Candidate Joe Biden denounced Trump for it. Now, with midterm elections nearing and increasing numbers of Venezuelans arriving at the border, Biden has turned to his predecessor's playbook. Venezuelans who walk or swim across America's southern border will be expelled, and any who illegally enter Mexico or Panama are ineligible to come to the U.S., but as many as 24,000 will be accepted at U.S. airports. I'm Julie Walker.
The UK's new Treasury chief has reversed most of an economic package announced by the government just weeks ago. He's scrapping almost all of the tax cuts announced by the new prime minister. More at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl and Linda Bott, it is 8:05 in the morning, and the news is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Health starts here. Nathan's at the helm. Do we have a national day today?
Oh, yes, we do.
Okay, National Vaping Day, right?
No.
Okay, got it.
It's National Bosses Day.
I want some.
Oh!
You know what? Not me.
Oh,
but the first
yeah,
one
do.
Of you. The, not No, it's Linda. Of course. You all respect
oh,
Linda.
Yeah.
I have to fight for it every day.
What do you want?
What do I want?
Yeah.
How about a day off?
Oh, okay.
I am 3 hours behind in my riding.
Oh,
so
you mean R-W-R-I-T or R-I-D?
R-I-D.
Okay.
I don't write.
Also,
no, I take notes.
Okay, if this helps you a little bit, it's also National Pasta Day.
Oh, we like both of them.
Okay. You know, we can go for that.
We like both of them.
Pasta
okay.
is probably one of the world's greatest inventions. Where was it invented? Where was pasta invented? Where were noodles invented?
China.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah. Where was tomato sauce? And what was tomato sauce originally used for? Preservation.
Mm.
Preservation when they'd be shipping things. Uh-huh. They'd put them in the
You're
tomato
kidding.
Sauce.
That's
and who mastered
acidic.
Both of those things?
Acidic.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what?
Who mastered both of those things? The Italians.
Well, you know, and it's really funny. You know, when you know, I lived there. We were just there. The Italian food. Is different than American Italian
right.
food.
Right,
like the pizzas
is.
Over there are like you know a quarter inch thick. Over here you get them like they're 12 inches thick and you can't chew through them. But it's any like if you go to you know if you like Thai food, you have Thai food here. It's different than Thai food in Thailand.
Well, I could
because
say is that
Americans like and so you cook the way your,
I don't know.
Your
I can only
are.
Say that why we were in Italy. For 10 days, I never once felt full. I never left a meal feeling full.
And you were scarfing
like,
down some food.
Puffy. You know, like here, it's like I can eat a meal and you're, you know, just kind of like hangs out there like a gut bomb. But, not there. Anyway,
well,
so it's funny
it might have had something to do with it. We had to walk 3 miles to get
well,
to the food.
Well, exactly.
And then
we
3 miles
we drove over 600 miles as well. But we ate, but we never felt that. So there was something about the ingredients over there, and we'll get to that later. But sunny today with a high of 82, in case you're wondering. Mostly cloudy tonight with overnight. In case you're wondering what it's going to be today. It's kind of chilly out right now. Partly sunny tomorrow, 88. Wednesday, sunny, 95. Sunny Thursday, sunny once again, 92. Friday, 87. And get this, over the weekend, we've got a slight chance of showers. It's mostly sunny with a high of 79. And when we have our paella dinner that people are coming to that we donated for Turtle Bay. And it's being redeemed on Saturday, 52. Get ready to be outside and chilly. Sunday, slight chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high of 75. And the weather is brought to you by our friends in Anderson, Shasta Gas Propane, 365-793.
Better known business that gives discounts to
there
seniors and veterans.
Got to get that in there, absolutely.
Well, yeah, of course I do. If it's the third Monday.
It's the third Monday, and you have me.
It's got to be the Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, no matter what I try to do.
That's it. And I rarely don't show up, I have to tell you. I'm regularly here.
You are
totally
torture
you.
You
are.
Well,
Susan
in a good
Wilson.
Way.
And Susan,
it's a good torture.
You brought with you as your guest.
I brought with me as my guest today Stephen Campbell from the One Safe Place. And Stephen was the interim director, I believe.
I was for a few minutes.
Well, a few months for sure. And we're here to talk about domestic violence because today is, or not today, this month
this
is
month.
Right.
Domestic the violence
awareness
month.
Right.
And
you're not advocating it, in other words.
No, okay. But Katie Minoletti says hello to you.
Oh, yeah.
She calls me at dawn this morning, actually before dawn, and says, I am sick. But she didn't taste chili, so it's okay. So,
well, she needs to stay home and get better.
Right. So, and I know Carl just told me that you had had people on your show, but we really want to emphasize the need for people to be aware of domestic violence and the fact that domestic violence hits all cultures, you know, in our neighborhood for sure. And what we're trying to do, I did bring a wonderful definition. I found this wonderful definition of domestic violence. Domestic violence is the willful intimidation, physical assault, battery, sexual assault, and or other abusive behavior as part of a systemic pattern of power and control perpetrated by one intimate partner against another. It includes physical violence, sexual violence, threats, and emotional abuse. The frequency and severity of domestic violence varies dramatically. But I think that's a real nice nutshell definition. And I think one of the most important parts is willful, the willful intimidation, purposeful. This is not an accident that happens.
Most people think that domestic violence is about the physicality or even like the emotional abuse, but the reality of it is the heart of domestic violence is actually the power and control that they're trying to exert over another person, which is where the willful piece really plays into that. They're just trying to totally be in control of somebody else, and that's
the
struggle.
Okay, well, Stephen, I think it's wonderful because we do have One Safe Place on here. Once a month.
Yeah.
And I know that you've been on in the past, but let's bring into the light today.
Sure.
You.
Okay.
What you do there, how come you're there.
Sure.
And a little bit about your past.
Great. So I'm actually a part of the board at One Safe Place, have been for about 7 years now. And I first, though, got involved when I was pastoring the Church of the Nazarene here in town. And we had a person who was a part of our congregation that was a member of the One Safe Place staff, and she was actually working in the children's advocacy position. So she worked a lot with the families that were coming in and then working with their kids, trying to help them begin to understand what was happening and, you know, with a lot of kind of the regulation that goes on post-trauma, right? And so she actually approached me 1 year in October, actually, and said, hey, I'm thinking about I'd love to throw a Christmas party for the kids and their families because they just don't really have anything. Would we as a church be willing to host them and do a Christmas party? And I said, great. And so that kind of started the ball rolling. That was probably, I don't know, 15 years ago now or something like that. And then through that process, we also then discovered how critical the transitional housing piece is. So One Safe Place functions as an emergency domestic violence shelter for Shasta County, which limits our ability for how long a person can stay there because of that qualification that comes from the state. And so then most of the time, though, they're not ready to transition into something that's on their own. So one of the big pieces is trying to figure out how do we help folks kind of take that middle step. And so my church got involved in the process of trying to help find in-between housing for people. So we had several families in our churches that were host families. And so that's how I got involved with One Safe Place. Initially, it was just through the community and through supporting through the church. And then eventually I got on the board. And then when we had a transition at the executive director position, I was actually the president of the board at that time. And that's when they asked me if I'd just step into that interim role, kind of wear both hats for a little while. And then since then, just continued to proceed. Is that helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great. So it kind of gives you like how you got involved.
Exactly.
And
for me,
it's equally, it's very personal as well because I was on the OSP board when it was the Women's Refuge for years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was the chair. I remember one year I was in charge of the crab feed. I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
And today I work with their discovery group or the group of women that are struggling with the effects of domestic violence, and I work with them on adverse childhood experiences.
Right.
As you know, one of my favorite discussion items.
Right.
And so I've maintained my close connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an important service in our community.
Yeah, it really is, and I was with them too. I mean, we've been here for 15 years, so it was before One Safe Place.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Shasta Women's Refuge, and then you had this other, then it kind of combined. So the building was built, beautiful things. And we do talk about some of the fundraisers and stuff that come,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, even though you've got grants, it definitely could use that. But let's talk about domestic violence in California. Stephen, you've now been involved in basically with your finger in the kind of the situation here in the North State for how many years now?
Well, at least 15.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for 15 years, probably a lot of things have come to light.
Sure.
And that we just had numbers rise after COVID.
Right.
So we are looking at 34.9% of California women and 31.1% California men experience intimate partner physical violence, sexual violence and or intimate partner stalking in their lifetimes.
Right, yeah. Those numbers really hold true for Shasta County. Probably our numbers are just a little bit higher than that on average. We in this category, unfortunately, is one of the ways in which Shasta County sort of is at the front of the line from the state perspective, which, you know, there's just a lot of factors that go into that. But that's one of those things that, you know, when you hear one in four women in their lifetimes are going to experience some form of intimate partner activity, right? That's either sexual or physical abuse or some form of stalking. That's a pretty shocking number. Unless you have the ability to be able to ask, you know, have a close enough relationship with a female who's willing to begin to open up and share that with you. And then you go, wow, yeah, this is a real thing, right?
We got to take a break.
Okay.
We'll come back.
Great.
We're over time here. We're with Citizens,
Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, Stephen Campbell and Susan Wilson. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. I didn't look at you in a certain way. No, I'm just going for it. Jeff Wurst is the crack master himself, a better-known business. He's been repairing windshields for decades. He does a great job. He guarantees his work, whether it's a small chip or a crack, over 2 feet in length. Don't take chances with your family's safety. It's getting colder. That chip in your windshield gets water in it, and then it freezes, and all of a sudden you've got a crack. When you walk out there that morning, goes all the way across your windshield, and you could have had it repaired quickly, safely, and guaranteed at Crackmaster Windshield Repair. For a free inspection and analysis, head on down to 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff Wurst a call at 241-8373 for an appointment. A better-known business, Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We'll be right back with Scar.
The Society of Animal Artists' 62nd Annual Art and the Animal Exhibition is now at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring art in various media from artists around the world. Art and the Animal at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, I'm Amarjit Singh and I'm running for Anderson City Council. I have been part of the Anderson community for the past 16 years with my family. I work for the Shasta County Health and Human Services Agency and have volunteered for many community organizations over the past 20 years. As a member of the Anderson City Council, I focus on improving the health, safety and infrastructure. As Anderson continues to grow, so does the need for more non-profit organizations to help those living below the poverty lines. There's a need for counseling center to support those affected by domestic violence. Also part of my short-term future plans would be a free homework club, a free computer literacy program, free daycare, part-time jobs for local teens, and a cooling center. I would like to build on the city's success by supporting new businesses and local law enforcement and their efforts to reduce crime, including arson, drug abuse, and homelessness. I plan to introduce more services for veterans and seniors. Vote for me, Amajit Singh, for Anderson City Council.
Hello, Shasta County. Chris Kellstrom here once again. I'm running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. I'm not a career politician, nor do I plan on ever becoming one. I am a common-sense Shasta County native who has over 40 years of customer service experience and a background in business management. I know how to get things done and treat people fairly. I will admit I lack political experience, but I consider that a good thing in this day and age of career politicians. The current man in the White House has decades of political experience, as do many of our so-called leaders in this state. Personally, I prefer common sense over political experience, and that's what I bring to the table. We have enough career politicians in this world, and I think serving in county politics should be one civic duty, not a career path or stepping stone to higher political office. I will push for term limits for the Board of Supervisors, and I'll refuse the retirement package on day one to prove my intentions. I believe we will get more done if a supervisor has only one or two terms in office instead of 20 years of empty promises. A vote for Chris Kellstrom is a vote for term limits. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Hi, this is Marcus Barton, candidate for Reading City Council. As a resident and business owner in this area for over 20 years, I pledge to use my experience to improve the quality of life in Reading. I will support responsible development while safeguarding historic properties like the riverfront and rodeo grounds. I will support our law enforcement officers and firefighters so that we have the best emergency services possible. I will support our business community by cleaning the bureaucratic muck bogging down our permit approval process. With your vote, I commit to putting your priorities first.
Hi, this is Reading Mayor Pro Tem Mark Mazzano. I'm excited to tell you I'm endorsing Marcus Parton for Reading City Council. He is the best choice for Reading.
Paid for by Marcus Parton for Reading City Council 2022.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Hi, this is Erin Reznor, candidate for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. Shasta County is my home, and I love our community. We continue to face tough challenges. Homelessness, public safety, and mental health are issues we all experience on a daily basis. How do we solve such complex problems? The answer is clear, together. I have seen the strength of our community as a business owner, as mayor, and as a wife and mother. There is nothing we cannot do. Join me in the fight by voting for me on November 8th.
Paid for by Erin Reznor for Supervisor 2022.
California is headed in the wrong direction. Let's make sure we have representatives who fight for us. Assemblyman James Gallagher is that type of representative. When fires destroyed local homes and towns, James Gallagher forced Sacramento to act and got us the needed resources to rebuild. When the Oroville Dam failed, James Gallagher fought the bureaucrats to get the dam fixed and help those that were affected. James Gallagher has always been a fighter for us.
This is James Gallagher. Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies don't listen to us, don't understand our values, and don't care about our part of California. I took Newsom to court to stop his unconstitutional power grab, and I'm fighting the bad ideas, excessive taxes, and high gas prices that are harming our state. With your support, I'll keep fighting for you.
Paid for by James Gallagher for State Assembly 2022.
Shasta Regional Medical Center presents Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum, now through January 29th. This highly interactive museum exhibition explores the science of the human body, great for all ages. Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org. Hey,
hey, hey, hey. And good morning and welcome to our Monday show here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is your talk radio.
on this Monday with Carl and Linda Bott, the 17th of October. This portion of the show as we begin this segment by Cornerstone Community Bank.
Cornerstone Community Bank is a community bank. It's locally owned, local board of directors. They've been in the business 15 years, and they've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened their doors. We do banking with Cornerstone Community Bank, and we're real happy with it. And, real friendly people that have got your best interest in mind. Cornerstone Community Bank. We're here with Susan Wilson and Stephen Campbell. Stephen is over at One Safe Place, and yep. October is Domestic Violence Month. One of the reasons I believe that we have a higher rate of ACEs problems and domestic violence in Shasta County is because we take it seriously. Mm. We actually have, you know, we go out and we reach out constantly to people. Our teachers are trained. Our police are trained. People have a place to come to. I think the fact is that we keep track of it a lot better than probably most other counties in this state. What say you?
I would agree that good statistics are hard to keep and that Shasta County works hard on that. You know, our public health department in particular works hard on that. They have a lot of different dashboards. You know, we have a dashboard for ACEs. We pick some performance outcome measures so that we can see what is happening and how it shows in our community. Actually, domestic violence calls is one of the things on our ACEs dashboard. So you've hit it on the head, in my opinion.
Yeah, any time that you start taking it seriously and you start mm-hmm. reporting it more, you're going to get more cases. You know, but yet people pointed us, oh, look at that high rate of domestic violence they have there and their high ACEs scores. You know, it's kind of a self-defeating thing we're doing. You know, if we're fighting it and we're getting better, but then people point at us and say,
but I disagree with that. I disagree with that because
I don't
need
care.
To know, you need to know what's truly happening. And Stephen has some stats for us.
I understand we want to know what's going on, but people are taking the knowledge and taking the seriousness we do this, and they're beating us with it, including our own people that live here in this town. Oh, we have such a high rate of domestic violence, and our ACEs scores are horrible. You know what? Take a look at why. Because we take it seriously, but you never hear that part.
That is certainly a piece of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to remember and recognize that higher reporting doesn't mean that we actually are having more cases because of more reporting.
Thank you.
It simply means that that we have a higher level of reporting. That's all that means. So it's not as if because we have higher numbers that means more people are going to become abusers. It just means that level of abuse already exists in this community, and thankfully people are reporting it. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us to recognize that distinction, I think, in the process.
And so it's safe to come forward. Now, Stephen, you have said
wait a minute.
That...
I'm going to finish up on this. I've got a second part. Well, then, is domestic violence incidents dropping in Shasta County?
I'll tell you this, that the numbers don't bear that out, especially post-COVID. We've actually seen an increase.
Well, it's another thing the Biden administration has given us.
Not exactly sure what to do with that, but
it's just something I just threw in.
Yeah, but I can tell you that locally we have seen the numbers all increase post COVID, and that you know, obviously you'd think that because of the larger community trauma of the having to whatever our reason, whatever you feel about why, right?
Right.
But the fact that we were all closer together, we were. You know, restricted, all those kind of things.
Sure.
That increased tension, that created...
People lost jobs.
Right, created situations.
Kids home from school in many cases.
Right. So we have seen an increase in numbers. For example, in the months of July, August, and September, we received 228 crisis hotline calls that were only after hours calls. So that doesn't count anybody who called during the time when One Safe Place was open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, because we handle all the crisis calls through the normal switchboard during the week. So 228 crisis hotline calls specifically for those 3 months that happened not between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday. So that, and that's an increase from what it was. I don't have the number that was the previous 3 months, mm-hmm. but that's the number that it was. And I do know that that number is higher. Another example, we had a month in, I think it was July, we had 75, restraining orders that we were working on clients on filing in that 1 month alone. That's just a staggering number for us. So
the numbers aren't really going down then.
No, we're not seeing that in terms of at least the reporting numbers, yeah. right? Which would indicate that then the numbers themselves aren't decreasing. Even if the reporting is increasing, the numbers themselves probably aren't decreasing. Does that make sense?
Oh, no, it does. Okay. And my aside, you know, notwithstanding, yeah. is I think that people realize that COVID had a huge impact.
Because yeah, on lots of
lost things. Lost mm-hmm. jobs, mm-hmm. kids home from school, so many things.
Right.
People anxiety, had to spend a lot of time together.
Right. Anxiety mm-hmm. and all those things. And so, but I wonder then a year from now, you know,
yeah.
when we're kind of like out of it. I mean, nobody's locked down. It hasn't been for a while.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. We'll come back a year from now
yeah,
and
right.
tell you the new statistics.
Right, sure.
I think it's as of December 31st, California had submitted, and this is 2019, submitted 12,484 domestic violence misdemeanor convictions and 10 active domestic violence protective orders. That is just something, I don't know when this was printed out, but because we've got like years past this. But let's just talk about, like, do we have a statistic again, recently, Stephen, you were talking about what, let's see, what time is it? We got to take a break when we come back.
Okay.
Shoot. I'm sorry about that.
It's all good.
When we come back, Stephen Campbell and Susan Wilson. We are talking about domestic violence in California. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We've got more questions about what's happening here in the North State, what to look out for, how you can help, et cetera. We'll be right back after these messages.
And that she's great, but I can see through it all if she's about to break. Remember last year when you told me to always stay here.
The Society of Animal Artists 62nd Annual Art and the Animal Exhibition is now at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring art in various media from artists around the world. Art and the Animal at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick's Sports Club, we want to thank Redding Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlu's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlu's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlu's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlu's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak
salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
My name is Brenda Lunty. My husband and I have owned San Francisco Deli for 30 years and been a resident of Shasta County for 40 years. I first met Kevin as a customer in our deli. When he decided to run for supervisor of District 1, where I live, I was happy to offer my support. At a recent reception, a woman mentioned she had difficulty contacting local officials, trying to get answers. No one would return her calls. Kevin immediately offered her and everyone else his phone number. He was willing to talk to groups, small or large, one-on-one, to anyone who had questions about who Kevin Cry was or anything else they might have concerns about. I believe he is someone who will be accessible to those who put him in office, not just the elite. Every Shasta County voter deserves to have access to our officials to get answers to their questions and concerns. I'm confident Kevin is that guy. I am endorsing Kevin Cry for District 1. Thank you, Brenda Lunty.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry, Supervisor District 1.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
From our family at Market Street, Blade & Barrel, thank you, Reading Rancheria, for all you do. You guys rock the community. Thanks again. See you soon.
From the family of Trendy, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all you have done for the businesses of the community of Reading. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Shasta Regional Medical Center presents Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum, now through January 29th. This highly interactive museum exhibition explores the science of the human body, great for all ages. Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Best place in Reading to get a haircut. On what I've observed over the last 15 years, I've never had a bad haircut there. It's a veteran-owned business. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. It's non-political. You don't see Dr. Phil on the TV. They work by appointments only. You can give them a call at 530-244-9478. Walk in, get your haircut, walk out, or you can just hang around if you want to. It's man's last stronghold, Cypress Square Barbershop.
I want to go into
something. We're here with Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, Susan Wilson, and Stephen Campbell, who works at the One Safe Place.
I wanted like to, a question, and you guys have been doing this for a long time. And Stephen, you know, with we talked about domestic violence, there's a big C word, control.
Right.
And what is it in the development of the psyche? And Susan, this would be good for you too, because we've talked, we kind of at the break talked about maybe personal experiences. What is it about a person that sometimes will be in a relationship that kind of likes or wants to be controlled? It's a form of being protected. Oh, they love me. Oh, that's just because they're trying to protect me. That's just a few things, but liking to be in a controlling situation.
One of the things that we know from the tracking of the statistics is that most of the people who end up in domestic violence situations as adults experienced it in some way when they were in their childhood, whether that was in their own home, or they had a family near to them that they were able to see it and experience it. And so they've grown up in an environment where they learned in those early imprinting years that that control looks normal, right? And so part of the process of when a person is in domestic violence situation, trying to help them move forward is in many ways, it's a process of them relearning what healthy actually really is. So they've grown up in an environment where they've learned that, oh, well, this is what it looks like to be loving. Well, actually, no, that's not what actual real love is. real love isn't controlling, but that involves a long journey of sort of reframing, re-understanding, and finding a new way of living that is in a different kind of a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We also know that in some religions that, spare the rod, not the child.
Sure.
They're... people grew up and they're still saying that they're trying to survive Catholicism because of the nuns.
Sure.
The list goes
or
on.
Or the priests.
Sure. Right.
Or the priests.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're trying to break a cycle.
Right.
That has been, generational.
It's part of the history of man.
Yeah.
Violence is a part of the history of man and woman, but I mean, human beings, you know, and I think it's hard for us to change that is sort of ingrained in us and the way we live. And that's during the break, we talked just a teeny bit about cultures and how each culture, if you label cultures, has a different view for how you even collect statistics on what is domestic violence. Probably have a different view, a different definition for the words domestic violence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a hard thing to teach children who are growing up in it. I mean, I really am right beside Stephen when we talk about imprinting. You know, there's a book by Bruce Perry where he talks about a baby. This family he treated, there were two or three children. One was a baby in a bedroom who could hear what was going on but not see it and really didn't have the brainwave activity to understand what was going on. And of the three children, the one that had the most difficulty later in life was the baby who couldn't understand what was going on, who, you know, continued to grow up in that environment, even though they were taken away fairly early. And I think that's really sad because it shows how sensitive human beings are to this connection piece. You know, we worry about relationships and so on. And how do we build those healthy relationships that result in strong families that don't have this kind of issue?
Well, I mean, if you get a phone call, I'm just saying, if you get my parents are having a fight, like a verbal fight. How do you do, people have verbal, how do you define, oh my God, that's a problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where you have to be able to look at it from a systemic place, right? So you look at what's the pattern of behavior over time, right? Because you're right? I've been married for 33 years. You don't stay married that long and not have go-arounds, right?
Right.
That's normal, kind of part of long-term relational behavior, right? But it's what do you see in terms of a pattern, and at what point does the power and control begin to exert itself in ways that become unhealthy toward one or the other of the partners, right? That's the process. So when a client comes to us at One Safe Place, one of the things that we do is we do an immediate triage assessment. We begin to sit with them and ask them a series of questions to assess what's their level of safety and danger, and then that then begins to determine how and where do we proceed forward.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we in this journey? Where are we in this process? What do we need to do to help with intervention? Mm-hmm. And then as we talked about during, I think, the break earlier, we talked a little bit about how do we shift a community long-term. That has so much to do with education, prevention, outreach, all those kind of things, you know, things like what we're doing in the high schools, all those kind of things.
Well, no matter how hard we try, we have a society right now, we've seen it right here in our society with our station, of on many levels where, especially during political times, where people are
hot.
Yeah,
they're hot.
Yep.
And Stephen brought up, you know, today in their funding, they don't get enough funding to do good prevention and education. You know, to sort of stop the flow, ebb and flow of this kind of thing, because there's simply not money in the system.
Right.
And that's a sad thing to think about,
that's
the case.
There have been some shifts in some of the ways that some of the funding has been happening. And so as a result, we've you know, we've had to make some decisions about some places to trim back. And because we're not going to trim back on the client services side of things, of actually helping clients that are coming through the doorway, you know, that some of those other places where we've had to do a little bit of trimming has been in that prevention, that education, mm-hmm. which is what's so critical for the long-term mm-hmm. health of our community, right? So that's just a part of that trickle effect of, you know, where we are right now, unfortunately. Right. So.
And one of the questions I wanted to ask Stephen was, I know that when I was on the board there at, then it was Women's Refuge, now One Safe Place, one of the issues was that women would go through treatment
mm-hmm.
and be successful,
mm-hmm.
and then something would happen, and
right.
back they would come, and we'd go through the whole thing again. So sometimes it takes many efforts
right.
on the part of a woman because of the way our society is set up and her culture, her family culture, the
sure.
way she grew up.
It can be all kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, there are a million reasons that this happens. Why does it take us so long to change the world for a person?
Some of that has to do with the fact that we're actually trying to completely change a frame of mind.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a long game, right? Mm-hmm. That takes time. Of course, all of our clients were, you know, the criticalness of support, therapy, ongoing case management, all those kind of things are part of what help that process. But it's just it takes time for there to be a reorientation to a new way of thinking.
Right.
You have to learn a new way to live.
Right. Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like you have to morph. Change.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remorph.
Right.
And on that note, we're going to take a break. We've got a 15-minute segment left before we close the show. If you do have calls, and we'd like to make a comment or something that might be happening, give us a call, 605-4567.
And this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. Tobacco and Brew at 2173 Hilltop Drive. Has all of your tobacco needs, all the accessories that go with it, and also the finest walk-in humidor in Northern California. You know, pick out those really, really delicious cigars there. They've got all kinds and a variety of prices. Tobacco and Brew supports our veterans community and many others. Been in the business for well over 30 years. Located at 2173 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Saturday. Tobacco and Brew. We'll be right back.
And I think look at me.
The Society of Animal Artists' 62nd Annual Art and the Animal Exhibition is now at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring art in various media from artists around the world. Art and the Animal at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I am running for District 5 Supervisor, and I'd be honored to earn your vote. District 5 includes Anderson, Cottonwood, Shingletown, and now Happy Valley. The one thing all these areas have in common is water issues, or better yet, a lack of water. The ACID canal is empty for the first time ever, and this has caused an environmental nightmare for the South County. Wells are going dry, ponds and creeks are drying up, fields and pastures have been destroyed. Happy Valley has been facing water shortages and severe cutbacks for a few years now. And in Shingletown, Grace and Nora Lakes have been drained, plus their water storage project has been held up over government red tape and regulations. Mark Twain once said, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over. Shasta County needs a fighter who will fight for the people and stand between the citizens and government overreach and red tape regulations. Water is the lifeblood of the earth, and I will fight for that lifeblood for Shasta County. I'm Chris Kellstrom, and I would be honored to earn your vote. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Wind River Resort and Casino has Monday Night Football, the best day of the week. So come on down to catch your favorite team on any of our 16 screens inside season. Score big with our stadium snacks half off during the game. Play hard, win easy with more prizes, cash, and free slot play. 49er tickets up for grabs all season long. So get your team gear on, grab your friends, and see why Mondays are the talk of the football season. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Remember when filling up the gas tank didn't cost an arm and a leg? Me too.
Assemblywoman Megan Daly.
That's why I support suspending the gas tax, to provide immediate relief from high gas prices and put money back in the pockets of working families.
Megan is focused on real-life issues impacting families, reducing the high cost of living,
making items like food, gas, and diapers less expensive.
And like you, I'm tired of the wildfires and smoke that plague our region.
That's why Assemblywoman Megan Daly led efforts to improve forest management, put more firefighters on the front lines, and secured millions to help fire victims and communities recover. Megan's good work has earned her the endorsements of the California Professional Firefighters and California Correctional Peace Officers Associations.
California has to do better. That's why I'm fighting to fix the policies that have failed us all. Let's get California back on track and be sure to turn in your ballot.
Megan Daly for Assembly.
Paid for by Megan Daly for Assembly 2022.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
My name is Brenda Lunty. My husband and I have owned San Francisco Deli for 30 years and been a resident of Shasta County for 40 years. I first met Kevin as a customer in our deli. When he decided to run for supervisor of District 1, where I live, I was happy to offer my support. At a recent reception, a woman mentioned she had difficulty contacting local officials, trying to get answers. No one would return her calls. Kevin immediately offered her and everyone else his phone number. He was willing to talk to groups, small or large, one-on-one, to anyone who had questions about who Kevin Cry was or anything else they might have concerns about. I believe he is someone who will be accessible to those who put him in office, not just the elite. Every Shasta County voter deserves to have access to our officials to get answers to their questions and concerns. I'm confident Kevin is that guy. I am endorsing Kevin Cry for District 1. Thank you, Brenda Lunty.
This ad paid for by the committee to elect Kevin Cry. Supervisor, District 1.
It's fall, y'all, and Black Bear Diner wants to make sure you lean into pumpkin spice season. Sip on a pumpkin cold brew made with our deliciously smooth and full-bodied coffee blend to spice up an afternoon or top off your next dinner with a slice of creamy pumpkin cheesecake. Start your day with pumpkin as well. Ask for pumpkin spice in your ever-popular sweet cream pancakes. We'll drizzle on some pumpkin spice sauce, add a dollop of whipped cream, and call it breakfast. Visit Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Shasta Regional Medical Center presents Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum, now through January 29th. This highly interactive museum exhibition explores the science of the human body, great for all ages. Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
All right. We're live on the air here at KCNR.
Okay. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. And tomorrow we're going to have Jack Munns, who is running for City Council.
Reading City Council.
He'll be on tomorrow.
And trying to get all the candidates on.
Trying to get them all on. Nice. If you're a candidate out there and you haven't been on the show, give us a call. Because, frankly, there's a lot of you, and I don't even know how to get a hold of most of them. What we were talking about.
Everybody has a place, though.
What we were having the spirited discussion is, Carl Bott believes that once you are a man and you're on your own, I'm not talking about living in the house, you know the difference between right and wrong. You know it's not right. You know in you it's not right. I don't care how you were raised, that it's not right to do certain things. Molest children, kill people, rob, cheat, all of those things. And you know it's not right to beat up your wife. And your argument is...
And Susan is arguing.
Is arguing that if you're raised in a culture that says it's okay, then it's okay.
No, I didn't say it's okay.
Not okay,
but
that explains
I'm saying that every culture has its rules. You know, I often call them the hidden rules. Mm-hmm. Because they're not acknowledged, written down rules. But every culture comes with different rules, and those rules are passed from generation to generation to generation. And people look at, one of the things they look at differently, I mean, they eat different food and stuff like that, but it's the way that they develop their relationships. Mm-hmm. Relationships are different in different cultures. And I think it's really important that we recognize that exists. I mean, that to me is part of
Well, I would agree with Carl in that we don't want that to happen, and it's not right that it happens. I absolutely agree with that. But at the same time, we have to understand where they come from when they do that. And so Carl told this great story about seeing a person in Iraq, a man slapping his wife, and
who, for all intents and purposes, was a businessman, and sure. And we had interacted with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day,
and had your respect.
No,
as a businessman. No, no, not even that. No. Okay, there you go.
And you remember the jobs we were doing then.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We accepted. Right. I mean, you know, we tried to keep a friendly relationship with that block we were in. But one day he brought his wife out and just started slapping the heck out of her. Mm-hmm. And we interceded on it. Mm-hmm. And then he ran out later with his coffee for us, you know, because he could tell we were a little bit upset.
Mm-hmm.
We really didn't have a right to intercede in his family, but we're not going to stand around and see some woman get beat up.
Right, but you also said that someone passed you a note.
One of the other ladies there that was a teacher handed a note to one of our guys, said, "You have no idea how bad it is."
Yeah. And what she was doing was saying, this is part of the way that we live. This is
well, as we go, we could spend hours upon this and we have no idea. Like, when does an individual develop moral compass? When?
Oh, how? As a child.
Yeah, but how?
As a child.
Is it, because I know, I can only speak for me that, you know, I grew up and I had a third grade teacher that walked down, said something smart alecky to her, and she walked down and I could still hear the click of her heels, came down and smacked me across the face in the middle of school. Now, in those days, my mom was a school secretary, and so this teacher apologized to my mom, never to me, because this is like probably the 60s at that point. She didn't apologize to me, but I remember the humiliation. But my point is that I had brownies. I had Girl Scouts. I had 4-H. There were things that you could be where, you know, I promise to do my best, you know, the oath that you take,
mm-hmm.
that help you to develop a moral compass, plus mm-hmm. your family. I mean, my family was like, don't ever steal and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of curious, if you grew up in an abusive house and you have this happening to you, where that begins, the moral compass?
It begins at the very beginning of life. I have this... well, it's a cartoon, basically, that I use in my teaching of the grandfather hitting the mother hitting the kid, you know, just these in a row, and a little kid beating up his teddy bear.
Mm.
So I'm here to tell you that it starts very early because we model the behavior that we see as human beings. We model that behavior, and we start modeling that behavior from a very young age. And you see this in even two-year-olds who will use bad language because they don't know what it means.
Right.
But they know that that's the word that their dad uses when he's mad, and I'm mad.
And this is a part of what I was referring to earlier, too, is the long game of how do you change a culture, right? Like, how do you adjust a whole society? Because as that child who's growing up in that home that you're kind of alluding to, they don't have any sense of, well, this just is normal, right? This is just what feels normal. So, therefore, then, as they get older, now that's what they think is normal, right? So, that's a part of that process of how do you go ahead and reframe that and change that. So, I have to learn an entirely new way
mm-hmm.
of how I think what normal is that doesn't involve this. Right. So you see how that impacts all that process.
Well, you have to be wanting to do the work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And some mm-hmm. people don't want to do the work.
You're right.
That's just the way I was raised, and that's the way it is, and forget
it's,
about it.
It's a lazy person's way out of it. Now, we've got to wrap this up. It's Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Correct.
Yes.
There is a problem with domestic violence in Shasta County, as in every mm-hmm. other county in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So your final thoughts on this, Steve?
I am honored to be able to see day in, day out, week in, week out, the work that the folks on the floor in the building at One Safe Place do. It's hard work. It's really, really hard work, and it's powerful work. And, I'm grateful that they're there, and I wish there was more we could do to support them, honestly. That's kind of how I feel as a board member almost every week when I have conversations with them, is what can we do to keep supporting you? How can we continue to try and help you as you do this work that you do? So that's my, I guess that's my blink for, from the answer to that question.
And I wish both the men and the women who are involved in domestic violence situations the best of luck and the inner strength to have, make the effort that can change the world that they live in.
I'll also piggyback on that, that more than just a sense of hopefulness, there's also agency, right? Like if you decide that you want to get help, how do you go about doing that? So there's a couple of phone numbers. Locally, our number at One Safe Place, the crisis hotline, is 530-244-0117. That's monitored 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You calling that number doesn't mean that you have to do anything other than have a conversation with somebody safe who's going to be able to just begin to ask questions and say, how can we support and help you? There's also a new national hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE. So either of those numbers are available at any time that if somebody wants to get some help, they can do that.
One Safe Place. It's been a sanctuary for decades.
It has.
And they have fundraisers. You might want to attend. You might want to help out.
Crab Feed next February. Mm-hmm. We're already planning.
I know. Hey, everybody, have a great day. Like I said,
thanks,
Jack
Munns,
candidate for city council, is going to be our guest tomorrow, and I'd like to leave with two words.